In the prices for dairy, meat, and vegetable oils more than offset increases in cereals and sugar. The index stood 3 points below its 2024 level and 22.4% below the peak reached in March of 22. The 2025 index averaged 127.2 points, 5.2 points higher than the 2024 average. The USDA released its January WASDE report, which projected a 17 billion bushel corn supply in 2025 and 26, raising alarms among the nation's corn growers and triggering an immediate market reaction. If the projections prove accurate, this year's crop would be the largest on record by far. The surplus supply promises to keep corn prices low as farmers struggle to pay higher input costs. The USDA says inspections of corn, soybeans, and wheat for export all rose week to week during the 7 days ending January 8th. Corn inspections improved to 1.49 million metric tons from 1.32 million a week earlier. Soybeans were reported at 1.53 million metric tons, up from just under a million the previous week and the 1.36 million the same time last year. Wheat jumped to 317,400 metric tons, up from 183,000 the week before.
Increasing your almond yield can seem like a tough nut to crack, but it doesn't have to be. Protect your crop with Marivon fungicide at Bloom. For added resiliency against frost, long-lasting broad-spectrum disease control, and proven yield results. See? That wasn't tough at all. Marivon fungicide, number one at Bloom for all the right reasons. Always read and follow label directions.
Today, we're talking with aphids and whiteflies about Safina insecticide from BASF.
We just got nailed with it.
So tell us, how you feeling?
Really, really weird.
And you still want to devour this field?
No way, bro.
There you have it, folks. Safina insecticide is specifically engineered to disorient aphids and whiteflies so they can't eat. And when they can't eat, they can't destroy.
Help protect your alfalfa from aphids with Safina insecticide. Always read and follow label directions.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Pass Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Pass Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks are sinking and Treasury yields are rising and touching their highest levels since September as investors seek safe haven assets after President Trump threatened to impose new tariffs on eight NATO allies for opposing his desired sale of Greenland to the U.S. Shares of Netflix are wavering. The streaming giant will be reporting quarterly results after the closing bell today. In the meantime, Warner Brothers Discovery's board approved Netflix's cash offer to acquire its studios and HBO Max streaming service. The value of the Netflix offer remains at $72 billion. Intel stock is rising over 3% in a down market after Seaport Research Partners upgraded its stock to a buy along with a $65 price target. Seaport says the chipmaker is seeing strong demand, particularly in its consumer products segment. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
I'm alpine skier Michaela Schifrin. I've won the most World Cup ski races in history. But what does success mean to me? Success means discipline. It's teamwork. It's the drive and passion inside of us, and it's why Stifel is one of the fastest growing global wealth management firms in the country. If you're looking for success, surround yourself with the people who will get you there. If you're an advisor or investor, choose Stifel, where success meets success.
Stifel Nicolaus & Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Past performance is no indication of future results. Investing involves risk. Consult a financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends, next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
What does a symphony orchestra musician, a good car mechanic, and a maker of fine sauces have in common? Plenty, if they're all the same fellow. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by K-Brush Concrete, serving the entire Central Coast for more than a decade. Call Kevin at K-Brush Concrete, 423-4033.
Not too long ago on this show, I was critical of the news media, particularly the TV news programs, plus a few talk shows, for what I called an anti-business attitude. In fact, while admitting I couldn't claim to have seen all the shows, I said I couldn't recall ever seeing any advocates of free enterprise holding forth on TV. Well, now I can. I was watching CBS News, and if you were too, you saw a story about one of our fellow citizens who hadn't done any of the things for which a person usually winds up in the headlines. A goodly portion of the evening news was devoted to this 45-year-old man, father of four, son of an immigrant father. None of that is what you might call earth-shaking or even newsworthy. There isn't a headline in the fact that he was a high school dropout or even that he served in the Army. Too many Americans have done both. But to its credit, CBS News did a heartwarming story about this resident of one of our eastern cities. First of all, he didn't settle for being a dropout. He took advantage of the educational opportunities the military offered and wound up with a college degree. He and his brother have an auto repair shop, and they're the repairmen. He also has a talent in the kitchen, which he's used to good advantage. In the evenings, he cooks sauces for spaghetti, shrimp, and so forth. His family helps, and they package and sell the product to markets and other outlets. There are, however, some evenings when he isn't in the kitchen. He plays in the city's Philharmonic Orchestra, and you can't do that without putting in a fair share of time at rehearsal. Now, I hope I haven't given the impression that this American citizen is just a terribly energetic, ambitious fellow, moonlighting and driving himself round the clock to keep up with the Joneses and the cost of living. No, the subject of the CBS News special places a great importance on living. He enjoys what he's doing. Some way he's found time to develop an appreciation of fine wine, join a wine tasting society, and accumulate knowledge to match his appreciation. A number of people aspiring to the same appreciation call on our citizen for help in acquiring the knowledge to go with it. Before that CBS News special feature ended, this American citizen told the rest of us how much opportunity there is in this land, in this way of life we call America. And he made it very clear he wasn't just touting the Babbitt line of how to make a buck. He was talking about living, and he made us realize he truly enjoyed his life and everything he was doing. And he made us realize the same joy is available to anyone who'll take advantage of being an American. The last we saw of him, he was putting the finishing touches on a fender in the auto repair shop. Thank you, CBS News. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan, in his own voice, brought to you by K-Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call 423-4033. Protecting
what matters on the right choice, AM 1230 KPRL 99.3 FM with Barry Fisher. Advice and information on protecting what matters most in today's world. Brought to you by Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers and their new associate, Heather Bordan, serving the commercial insurance needs of businesses on the Central Coast.
It's Tuesday. It's 1230. The Bear is in the building. And welcome back to Protecting What Matters. PWM is the broadcast that helps you become better shoppers and buyers of services and products to protect various aspects of your life, health, and property. We also explore current events, our history, community, institutions, and local treasures that are notable and worth preserving. We have two great guests today. From 1230 to 1, we're going to be joined by Rob Montz, who is an independent journalist and filmmaker. He recently published
published, I guess would be a good way to put it, a blockbuster documentary on covering the Palisades fire. It's very insightful and important for us here in the Central Coast to see the mistakes that were made in the Pacific Palisades. Also, the causes, the policies, the politicians that led to one of the most avoidable and disastrous wildfires in California history. Of course, we share some of those politicians here in the Central Coast. And then what the next steps reveal about the truth about the Palisades fire and what's going to happen next. Rob, welcome to Protecting What Matters.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, and great. Thank you. And then from 1 to 2 o'clock, we have election law attorney Chuck Bell. We're going to be talking about the slippery slope of electorate integrity, 40 years in the erosion of confidence in our electoral system, election law reform since 2020, and what, again, the future holds nationally and in California, national, state, and local politics, and Chuck's views on the upcoming election. So we got an information-packed show today. The text is not working for me right now, but you can call in with questions or comments at 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. And please excuse my voice a little bit. I'm getting over a cold, a head cold. So I'm hoping to be able to make it through the next 90 minutes with my great guests and my audience. So, Rob, you have a real personal interest in the Palisades fire, but you also have a really interesting background that I want to unpack a little bit. You grew up in the I have some questions. So
you can use the word interesting if you want to.
well, I think it's interesting that your three kids think they're impressed by what you do for a living, and I think you're a dedicated journalist that I wish we had more of you. It's funny, I was listening to a podcast, a Megyn Kelly podcast, and she was interviewing her buddy Andrew Klavan, and I'm sure you're familiar with both of them. And they were discussing the new rebel media, which has taken over the information that we all receive, many of us look at, on all these topics that we're dealing with. And you're clearly a member of the rebel media. So and that's a good thing, because we need the truth to come out. You grew up in Los Angeles, very much like me, about 40 years after me, actually. But and you ended up going to Brown University, which is a bastion of leftist propaganda and BS. how did you go in as a progressive type thinker? And you have a degree in philosophy, but did you go in as a leftist and come out red-pilled somehow as a libertarian conservative? I mean, how did all that happen?
So let me just back up and say also, I take it as a compliment where the rebel media and the doc we're talking about, people can just watch it at robmonce.com or just type in my name on YouTube and they'll find it, Rob Monce. And what I think it tries to exhibit, though, is that we can operate completely outside of legacy corporate media, which has a very clear ideological leaning to it. But in terms of the raw craftsmanship of the documentary, and you can tell me if this is what you saw too, of this doc and other ones that we've done on my channel, mm-hmm. in terms of production quality, cameras, animation, storytelling, it's at least as good as anything you'd find on Netflix, if not better. So the thing that we're trying to distinguish ourselves from is having that same rugged, contrarian, rebel mentality where we operate completely outside of mainstream channels. But in terms of raw craftsmanship, this is not just some other YouTube video. It's not something shot on an iPhone, right? It's not some kind of ham-fisted amateur thing that's an expose. We're trying to make stuff that is beautiful, and it is beautiful enough that it could be on any one of these major platforms, but they won't have it because it happens to have a certain ideological bent. I got to say, I actually, back then, I was just like a completely, maybe borderline, insufferable, hardcore libertarian when I was at Brown. Real, like, taxation theft. Read a lot of Ayn Rand, thought it was the master key to understanding the human condition, wanted the federal government shrunk by 95%. But the big thing is, back then, Brown clearly had certain political leanings, but it wasn't quite the same level of brutal censorship as you see now in the elite schools, if I'm being honest. And that I actually think back then, on net, it was actually very good training for me to be operating as a complete political minority, because I was constantly being attacked and criticized, which only made me smarter and stronger. which is frankly what college should be doing for everybody, regardless of their political disposition.
Mm-hmm.
It should be a crucible for a couple of years where everything that you think you're sure of is constantly being tested, and you actually have to articulate, using logic and reason and evidence, why you believe what you believe in. But this is sort of a long way of answering your question. The very first big documentary success I had actually was about Brown, and it was about exactly this topic. It came out, I guess it would have been about 10 years ago, and it was about how Brown was sort of the Wuhan lab of the hyper-censorious, anti-speech, ideologically conforming political environment you see now in higher ed. There's very specific things that happened there in 2012, in 2013, and the way the administration responded that actually signaled a kind of sea change, and where a guy like me, if he goes there now, is much more likely to run into a brick wall of censorship as opposed to what I should have run into when you're an overconfident libertarian at 20, which is constantly talking with people that disagree with you and trying to, and it makes you better. It makes both of you better. It makes both of you better.
Any chance you're going
to... I know you. What you want me to do is say they're all just ideological madrasas, but it wasn't quite that. It wasn't quite that way when I was there. I still have some affection for it.
Well, I think we all had that same experience. I mean, and there's that old saying, you know, when you go to college, and I started college, I guess in 1972 at USC, and then I went to UCLA, and you know, we were all liberals starting off, kind of, and then we end up, you know, go learning things, and that's the whole idea, and having those kinds of discussions that you're supposed to have to start filling out the way you think about the world, and that's the, that should be the important part of college. It's just today it seems like they've become more like indoctrination camps for a lot of people. So
worst possible thing you should do for a 20-year-old is to defer to their positions about extremely pressing matters of politics.
Yep.
There is no chance that 20-year-old, no matter how confidently they deliver their message, has any clue what they're talking about.
So,
has any idea?
Yeah, no kidding.
About.
Well, and so just real quickly before we get to Paradise Abandon, your movie in question or on the topic, are you planning on doing anything regarding this horrible shooting that happened at Brown University and some sort of expose on how they kind of bollocks things up or is that not really something that's of interest to you?
Oh, it's very much of interest for me. Mm-hmm. I'll just say we're kind of cooking something up right now.
Okay.
That's kind of all I can say about that.
All right.
Yes. It would be something of intense interest for me.
Okay.
That, and honestly, it actually ties into the Palisades documentary, in which both Brown and Los Angeles, California government suffer from a certain kind of progressive politics in which they tend to get fixated on these vast existential nebulous quasi-religious things,
mm-hmm.
like climate change or institutional racism, these kind of problems, these menacing problems that don't ever have a real solution, and you can never really know if you're making progress against them.
Mm-hmm.
And that fixation on those kind of fashionable problems leads them to not direct sufficient amounts of energy to the nuts and bolts of running a physical location. And in Los Angeles, that manifests itself in certain ways.
Mm-hmm.
And at Brown, it might be not having nearly enough security cameras in a building that's frequently populated by hundreds of students.
Yep. Know? All right, so as far as the Palisades fire is concerned, I mean, obviously, the name of your movie is Paradise Abandoned. If people, folks, you can just look it up on YouTube. It's there for everybody to see. You know, clearly, the premise is that the powers that be abandoned the Pacific Palisades. But tell us the story, and I want you to do the talking. You know, how did this fire get started? How did the Palisades get abandoned, and what's going to happen next?
Well, again, I'm a hometown kid. That's where I was born and raised. That's the motherland, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so my childhood house burned down. What used to be 16534 Las Casas is now a dirt mound.
Mm.
And the only thing I am capable of doing at 42 years old is telling visual stories and doing investigative journalism. So it very much felt like the universe was calling me to do something about this, because there's not much else I'm capable of doing. So I would tell you this. When we went into it, the expectation was, I think the best stuff that's on our channel, again, people can watch this and other things on Rob Montz on my YouTube channel for free, is taking some hot button new topic that was in the news cycle for 72 hours that everybody thinks they understand, and actually going back through and breaking it apart and showing how this thing that they think they understand, they don't understand at all. And that there's a much deeper scandal at work here than's appreciated even by right-wing media. But when we went into it, what I wanted to do was clear away a lot of the cheap viral partisan talking to points about why the fire got so bad, why it got out of control. And again, I think about 97 to 98% of what people heard about the Palisades fire is almost entirely irrelevant as to why this tiny little spark less than 2 miles from where I grew up was able to balloon into a massive urban wildfire and probably the worst natural disaster, at least in the last couple of years in America, right?
Right.
And so the first half of the documentary is identifying very specific policy failures that allowed something so catastrophic to happen. But the doc gets its name from what happened on day two. And day two of the fire is not a story covered by anybody. Not Fox News, not 60 Minutes, not CBS, not CNN, not MSNBC, not PBS, nobody. Nobody covered this part of the story. And what it is that on day two of the fires are still burning in the Palisades. There, the Los Angeles had actually been flooded with fire crews from all over the state and other states. So there's plenty of manpower on the ground. You have multiple prominent officials at the municipal and state level holding press conferences next to the Palisades, promising a national television audience to do everything in their power to save this precious village. And the winds had died down substantially so that the winds that had kept a lot of the helicopters and other water droppers from doing their job were gone. And that exact same day, when all that's happening and there's ample resources, the streets of the Palisades are empty. They're empty. There are virtually no firefighters there. And something like 1,000 structures that had survived the first day of the fire, that had survived, had burned down by that night, including the Methodist Church where I went to pre-K, which was the oldest building in the Palisades that was erected by the Methodist utopians that had founded the Palisades. Totally survived day one. In the late morning on day two, its tower catches fire. Perfectly preventable from having it burn down entirely. And by the night, it's also just a dirt mound, like my childhood home. So what's up with that? What is that? Like, what is up with that? Why did that happen? And so that's the second half of the documentary, is getting into that kind of deeper scandal that I don't think is appreciated by the general public.
So on day, at the beginning of day two, or at some point in time, you're saying that, I mean, the fire at night kind of got to a certain point, and then the fire resources withdrew from the Palisades. Is that basically the premise? What happened? And then the fire ramped up again, and nobody got up there to finish off the job. Is that really the message?
That sounds about right. I mean, you've seen the documentary. We interview someone who grew up in a community of about 250 houses that is about maybe 7 blocks from where I grew up. And that community of 250 houses were all intact on the morning of the second day of the fire. And someone from that community had snuck back in to check on these houses and starts noticing spot fires beginning to start on some buildings. So the buildings are intact, but there's small fires that are beginning to catch. And what he does is he goes down to the beach, which is about 5 minutes from there, which is lined with fire crews, and he asks them for help. He says, guys, my community is burning down. Can you come help us out? And the firemen tell him that they had been told to stand down.
And that was it?
And there's 250 houses that morning, including two historic homes that were erected, again, 70, 80 years ago. And by that evening, there's only 3 houses left.
Wow.
Day two. So what's up? What's going on there?
So
a lot of it is detailed. And we know for a fact that there's substantial portions of the Palisades that could have been saved, because it was saved by brave Palisadians who went back into the Palisades and saved their houses themselves. People who actively defied evacuation orders, busted through police blockades, drove through in the middle of the night, risked life and limb to get to their houses and save them and also save their neighbors' houses. So it was completely possible. And these are people that are untrained amateurs that, you know, their day job is to work as a bankruptcy lawyer at a law firm. And they're able to save these houses, but there's no firefighters in sight, so there's lots of excessive carnage.
Well, what was interesting to me, too, is, I mean, on day one even, you know, the fire really spread because through the California, how can I explain this, but apparently the L.A. Fire Department had been citing the state of California for not allowing, doing their brush clearance, which we're all required to do every spring, you know, to create defensible areas around our homes if we live rurally. But there was a lot of state land that was basically just all fuel that got the fire really ramped up. And how did that all, how's that all going to play out? I mean, because there are some lawsuits involved here between states and the residents and all that kind of stuff. I mean, there's quite a few lawsuits happening right now, correct?
Right, and the doc for the first half of it about why it got out of control, it's not just take my word for it. Mm-hmm. That some policy failure made things worse. What we do is we ground each one of our claims in interviews with individual Palisades residents. So there's a section in the documentary that's about a woman who lives in a house that's right, that abuts the hillside. And her line of houses was where the fire first made contact as it's traveling down the hills around 11 a.m. on the 7th. And we have her recount firsthand that today her house is still standing, every block on her house is still standing, and every other block of houses to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west is completely gone. And the reason why is because she had badgered local officials to come do some brush clearing in the immediate perimeter around their neighborhood just a couple months before the fire broke out. And so what the policies are, these people who lived next to these hills that are filled with chaparral and various other perfect fuels for wildfires,
yep,
that land is owned by the state of California, and the official policy of the state of California is that they would not clear it, and that individual Palisades homeowners had to apply and pay for a permit to clear it themselves. And shockingly enough, if that's your system, you know, not nearly a sufficient amount of brush clearing takes place.
Well, your mom lost her house. How's she doing?
She's breaking ground on rebuilding it in, like, the next 48 hours.
Oh, really? That's good.
Oh, yeah.
So people are starting to get some permits and some new building is happening?
Yeah, not nearly as much as people would expect. There was a big piece in the Wall Street Journal recently that only something like 5% of the lots are actively being rebuilt, and something like 70% of them are in a state in which they're not being sold and also not being built upon. And there's yet to be a new house constructed on a incinerated lot yet. It hasn't happened yet. Mom's doing fine. I don't know exactly what her internal emotional state is. I don't think she knows what her internal emotional state is, but she's decided that to very stoically go about this process of rebuilding and not let this fire, you know, completely incinerate her past.
And hopefully she was able to have insurance on the property?
She did, but she's like everybody else in which she was forced to take one of the California,
the fair plan,
the California provided fair plans, which are better than nothing,
right?
And the fair plan is only necessary because of the scandalous misregulation of the California insurance market, which prompted a bunch of private insurance providers to pull out of the state. So you only have a couple providers plus the California fair plan, and I think it reimbursed her at about half of the cost of the rebuild.
Well,
half of the cost.
Wow. Well, I hear the bumper music. I'm going to put you on hold, Rob. And then when we get back, I'd like to talk a little bit about what political fallout is going to happen in Los Angeles with the upcoming elections that you may have some insights on, and then some of your upcoming projects that you can talk about. So stand by. I'm going to put you on hold. And folks, we will be right back in about 2 minutes. Thanks so much.
I'm not usually a reviewer, but I had an amazing experience at Davis Body Shop. From start to finish, the experience was ideal. Everyone was friendly, helpful, and professional. They kept me updated, did quality work, and had me in and out. No hassles, and returned my vehicle to me in perfect condition.
If you ever have an accident and need to repair your car, you could do what Ann did from Paso Robles. She took her car to Davis Body Shop. And Peggy from Atascadero said,
our family needed repairs to one of our cars, and friends had recommended Davis Body Shop. We were very pleased with their helpfulness, their attention to detail that was provided to us. They explained the process and kept us updated as repairs were made. They also assisted us in securing a rental car. I would definitely recommend them to anyone who needs repairs to a car.
Davis Body Shop is the area's largest auto body collision specialist on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 3 years running. We offer conventional FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages and 100% purchase loans for first-time home buyers. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? I have a great new option. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find that right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. We move from our 20-year Atascadero location and now offer two convenient locations to meet personally in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Call 805-466-3598. Thank you for supporting your local businesses.
Whether you are filing taxes as an individual or business, we recommend Nick Medeiros on Morrow Road in Atascadero. Nick, what is the best way to set up an appointment?
The absolute easiest way is to give us a call at the office. It's 805-466-7249, and you're going to get one of three of our amazing staff to answer the phone and just lay out, you know, who you are, what you've got going on, and you need to make an appointment, and they'll find a slot that fits your schedule, and we'll be able to take care of you.
How many CPAs in your office?
There's three of us, and it's been that way for at least 4 years now. There's myself, there's Oscar Espinoza, and Esten Said, and we've got all history together. I mean, pushing back almost 20 years together of when we were young. But yeah, no, we're here and available to take care of folks and answer as many questions as possible.
Thank you, Nick. Call 805-466-7249 to make your appointment with Nick, Oscar, or Esten.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're visiting with Rob Montz, independent journalist and filmmaker, and we're talking about his latest film, Paradise Abandoned. You can call in with questions or comments, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. So, Rob, is there going to be any political fallout to the goofy politicians that are running Los Angeles, and they got to kind of clean house the LA fire departments and get their act together, or what are you hearing on the ground there at this point?
Come on, man. What do you think is going to happen? Probably. People can watch the doc. Also, just if they type in robmontz.com online, it'll take them immediately to the doc, and they can watch it for free.
Oh, great.
On YouTube channel.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. MONTZ, robmontz.com. Rick Caruso just announced he wasn't running for political office, I think.
Did he?
So, I mean, all you got to know is that if you go to the downtown of the Palisades right now, the only thing that survived was this village area that was run by this guy named Rick Caruso, who your audience is probably familiar with.
Yes.
If they aren't, he's an extremely, extremely successful builder.
Mm-hmm.
In the LA region, and about 10 years ago or so, he built up this super swanky shopping center, retail center in the village, and it's the only thing that survived down there because he pre-deployed some firefighters, hired some private fire departments, and he built the buildings out of fire-resistant material.
Huh.
So if you go to downtown Palisades right now, you have in front of you these gleaming physical manifestations of why merit and leadership matters. right? Because Rick Caruso very famously ran for mayor against the current mayor of Los Angeles, Karen Bass, and he lost.
Right.
Karen Bass represents a version of what might be called identity-forward politics, if I'm being nice, where the people get supported and they win elections, not because of the specific, you know, meretricious actions in their resume, but because of if they fulfill a specific identity category. And downtown, the village in the Palisades right now is a clear visual representation of the sections that were run by people that have their positions because of merit. They're still intact, still operational. And the places that were put under the loving protection of Mayor Karen Bass are still incinerated husks. So even with something that dramatic, that obvious, it seems still that she's going to win re-election and Caruso's not going to assume any position of political power in the state. So I hate to be a downer, but it doesn't look great.
Yeah, I mean, I think the people of California are underserved at most levels of government here. And it's really too bad to see it. And I'm a native, and I've just watched what's happened here over the last 40 or 50 years, and it's just incredible. What about are you seeing any other fallout from the bureaucracy in LA? Are they making some changes in how they do stuff, or is this like everybody's just pointing fingers and not making any changes to the status quo?
I think having some systematic change is going to require something more concrete than just moral persuasion, if I'm being honest. I don't think the bureaucracy reforms itself based upon effective argumentation or calls to their better angels. And by that, I mean, I think that could potentially really shake this place up is one of these lawsuits. And there's about 90 of them being successful.
Wow.
Some 90 to 100 lawsuits on a variety of different municipal and state level failures. And you'd ask me about what some of our new projects are. We recently got the green light to do essentially a sequel to this documentary that I think is going to be anchored in some of those lawsuits and some of that legal actions, and to go through the merits of those lawsuits, why people are launching them, and what could be the effects of their success. Yeah.
Before I forget, I forgot to mention, so this was this project was funded by the Lincoln Media Foundation?
Lincoln Media Foundation, yeah.
And can you tell our audience a little bit about them and the good work that they're doing? And then I have a caller. So, but go ahead and keep talking and tell us about Lincoln.
Yeah, there's a great nonprofit media operation called Lincoln Media Foundation. They're based in Orange County. They have a really robust membership of people that have conservative politics. And one of their arms is to support original media and documentaries like this. So they've been an awesome partner in this and helped us get the word out.
Great. We got a caller. Thanks for calling up Protecting What Matters. What's your question or comment for Rob?
Yes. I wanted to ask, because his title includes paradise, and I just wondered if he had what he's speaking about. Is there seems to be quite a few things that have occurred by design and or deficiency, and I'm wondering if he has any, even if conspiratorial, any similarities between the Paradise Fire, Lahaina, Sonoma, other quote wildfires that we've had in the country.
All right, I'm going to go ahead, Rob, because I have another caller for you too.
You know, I've been asked a lot about this, if I discovered any deeper conspiracy here. And I try to always tell people it was 100% within my professional self-interest to have discovered something like that, that this was planned or purposely engineered, or Gavin Newsom and a bunch of shadowy communists decided to burn down the Palisades. But I was not able to find it.
Yeah.
And,
well,
but the thing that I say to people is that the reality of what happened is just as scandalous as any conspiracy theory. You don't need a conspiracy theory to be a conspiracy.
Rob, thanks for being with us today. And we're going to keep in touch and get you back on with your next project whenever you're ready, okay?
Thanks so much for having me.
Have a great day, and good luck to your mom.
Thank you.
Folks, we'll be back at about 1:08 with Chuck Bell, election law lawyer. So stand by.
Join us next Tuesday for Protect What Matters the Most with Barry Fisher. Send your questions and show topic ideas to barry@blazinbear.com. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.